bottom of Ayin Beis, Amud Beis. Okay, so let's just go over, let's just read through the Mishnah quickly. I know we're backtracking a little bit, but let's just read through the Mishnah a little bit quickly, and then we'll pick up from there, because that's really what the Gemara is talking about. So, the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Beis, Amud Beis says the following. So you have sons, brothers, that were all eating from the shulchan of their father. So they're all eating the father's food. However, they're sleeping in separate houses. So that separates them a little bit, and we'll see the Gemara will explain. Each one of them is going to have to make an Erev, and we're going to see the cases when they're contributing into another Erev. If one of them forgot to contribute to the Erev, he's going to be required to mevatel his rishus in order for the Erev to work. As the Mishnah itself says, this is all talking about where they're bringing the Erev into a different rishus. But if the Erev is coming to them, or the next line, which is important in the Gemara later, or no one else lives with them. In other words, it's just the family. So then, they don't have to make an Erev. As we're going to see in the Gemara later, if no one else requires, no one else is forcing them to create the concept of an Erev, there's no one else with them, so then they don't have to contribute to the Erev either, because they're all eating off the same, they're all eating with the same food, even though they're sleeping in a different place. So the first point that the Gemara makes is Shmami no makam lina gerim. The fact that if the case is they're all eating from the same food, but they're sleeping in separate places, that itself causes that they have to contribute to the Erev. So it seems like the separation is caused by the where they sleep. So makam lina gerim, which is going to be a problem according to Shitas Rav, as we'll see on the bottom of the Amud, that says that it's where they eat, not where they sleep. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Makabli Prashan. The case over here is talking about where they're also taking the food and they're going into a separate house, and they're not only sleeping in separate places, but they're also eating in a separate place. So if they're eating in a separate place, so that's why that is what really creates the separation according to Rav Shita, and we can say that that's shot in the Mishnah as well. Now, the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan Misha Sheyesh Lei Beis Shar. If somebody has like a gatehouse, a chsadra or a pathway, a marpesas, a porch that connects to somebody's house, the chotzer chaver in someone else's chotzer, he doesn't actually live there, he just has these little pads in someone else's place. That doesn't make, in other words, it doesn't create another jurisdiction within his rishos to require some sort of partnership between them to create an eir. However, based in heaven, if he has some sort of storage houses, as we'll see, if he has a house where he keeps his straw, Beisa Bokar, a place where he keeps his cattle, Beisa Eitzim, a place where he keeps his wood, which or Beisa Eitzroitz, or any other type of storage room, this is already going to create a new Rishos, because this is some place he's going to have to go in and out of, he's going to have to be there, so that creates another Rishos. Even those different areas, the storage houses, don't make a separate Isser. Unless the guy actually lives there. If he lives there, so then, and Hanami, that creates a separate rishos. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa b'Ben Nafcha, there was a story with Ben Nafcha, Shahaya Loi Chamisha Chatzeres, Usha, he had five different Chatzeres, he owned five different properties in the city of Usha, Ubo Maisa l'Fnei Chachamim, and they asked the Chachamim whether or not he's required to make an Erev in each one of those five different places. And they said, he only answers where he has an actual house. So the Gemara says, Beis Dira Salkadazach, you think he means an actual house? They're all houses. Ela'ema Mokam Dira means where he actually stays. Mokam Dira means the place where he stays, not just that there is a house there, but rather there is that's where he really stays. Then he requires another Rishos. But just because, this is again according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, just because he has a place that theoretically he could use is not going to create a problem. Now, my Mokam Dira, what does it mean that's a place where he has a place where he sleeps, where he stays? So this is the Rav that we were referring to before. Rav Omar Mokam Pita. Rav says it means the place where he keeps his food, and it's only one place. So only one of those five houses is where he actually eats, and that's the place where he's going to require that he needs an Erev. Now we're on the top of Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Shmuel Amar Mokoim Lino. Shmuel says, which would fit into our Mishnah, at least the Pashtas of our Mishnah, Shmuel says the case is that's where he sleeps. So the place that he sleeps is going to cause that, well, if he sleeps here, that's a new Rishos within the Chasr, so he's going to have to contribute to the Erev. Now, let's see So now we have the concept over here that we're going to focus on in this Gemara is what really matters. Does it matter where he sleeps or does it matter where he eats? Meisvei, I'll ask you a contradiction. Haroyim, the shepherds, Vakaitzin, the guys who watch the figs. That was their job, to watch the figs, that the animals shouldn't get them. Vaborganim, also, the Rabbeinu Chananel explains that means the people who watch the broken down houses, the little storage houses over there, so no one would ruin them. The Shomrei Peiros, or the people who are watching the Peiros. Now, this is all people who are outside of the main city. They're not in the regular chatzar. So, Bezman Shadakim Lolun Be'ir, if they go back to sleep in the city every night, Harei and Kanchei Ha'ir. So then they're considered part of the city. And this is relevant for purposes of measuring his tchum. Where do you measure his 2,000 amas from? Do you start from where he's standing guard duty? Or do you start from, he comes back to sleep every night in his house in the city, so he's really part of the city, and you count the whole city as one big rishus. So if he comes back to sleep at night, the Bryce over here says he's like everybody else in the city. But if he sleeps out in the field, so then he gets 2,000 amas from where he sleeps in the field. Oh, so what do we see? We see the Pharisee that it's telling him where he sleeps. It has nothing to do with where he eats. So the Gemara says, no, over there, and we're going to use this concept again later, Hasam Anan Sahadi, over there it's obvious. We're like Adim. It's established fact. The Imam Atulhu Rifta Hasam, that if we would bring the bread over there, Tfei Nichaluhu, he'd prefer it. Meaning, the fact that he has to go into the city to eat is an inconvenience for him, because he really would rather stay outside and sleep the whole time in the outside on his guard duty. Therefore, he wouldn't have to travel back and forth. So the fact that he just happens that he has to run back into town to eat is really not convenient for him. So it depends. Therefore, the eating place is not kaveya. It doesn't set where he really is, because if it was up to him, he would knock that part of his daily routine out of the system. And it's really a matter of where he sleeps. If he sleeps out there, that means he's there all the time. If he has to come back into town anyway to sleep, so now he's eating and he's sleeping in town, so then, Anachanami, we consider him part of the town. So again, this is a new concept that we're going to see later in the Gemara also, that it depends on if it was up to him, the fact that he either sleeps or eats in a particular location, but as an inconvenience, so that inconvenience is not going to set him up where he is. It has to be because that's where he really wants to be. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, Lo Shmieli Hashmeitz. I never heard this halacha. I don't know what this halacha is. So Amar Abaye. This is as Rashi brings down. We see this a number of places in Shas, where Rabbi Yosef himself forgot everything that he learned, and Abaye used to remind him. So Amar Abaye, At Amrus Nihilon. You told this to us. Vaha Amrus Nihilon, and you told it to us in the following context. We already had this in Erevin a couple times. Ha'achin Shahayil Oichlin Al Shulchan Avim. If you have a bunch of brothers, this is our mission actually, that are eating from the food of their fathers, but they each sleep in their own separate house. The Mishnah itself says they each have to contribute to their Eiriv. And they said to you, this is Abaye talking to Rabbi Yosef, they said to you, Shema Mina, this proves, that all that matters is where they sleep, not where they eat. Because they're eating all this off the same table. The Amrit, one Allah, and you yourself said on this, we're talking about where they're getting food also. They're not just sleeping in separate houses, but they're also taking the food back to their own private room, and they're eating in a separate room, so that's what's going to cause them to be separate, and they'll have to contribute to the air separately. Just one very interesting aside, it really goes back on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Tosfos over there brings that when you have Bachrim in a dormitory, since they all eat from the same kitchen, they're all being supplied, there is some sort of connection between them, and they all eat from the same kitchen, so even if they actually take the food back into their dorm room, as long as they're really considered one entity, they don't have to make an Eruv. So you have, I'm sure, as a bachur in yeshiva, when you had your own dorm room, nobody ever thought that they needed to make an Eruv. So the Pishitas Taisus, which seems to be an accepted opinion, that since you're really eating off the, you know, off the Rosh Hashiva's food and you're all eating in the same place, even if you happen to take the food back into your own room, that's not going to create enough of a separation to require a separate Eruv. Okay, so again, the focus over here is what do we count? What counts more, where you sleep or where you eat? Tana Rabbanan. So the rabbis taught us, Mi sheyesh loy chamesh noshim. So somebody who has five different wives, Mekabel is pras, and you're supporting all five of them, Mi baleihem, from their husband. Chamisha avodim, or he has five different slaves in different places, Mekabel pras mi rabbein, that are being sustained and supported by their master. So you have a machlekas. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseiro holds Mekablin He says the women, the wives, are considered all joined up as one, but by the slaves, they really, it just happens to be that I support them, but they're really not connected to each other, and therefore they still, the fact that they're at different locations will require a different area from each of them. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says, "Matir ba'avadim." He says, "Punk baket." The slaves are mishuvadim to you. If you're supporting them, that really connects them back to you. But he says the wives are not connected because yes, it's true that they're all being supported by the same husband. However, each one of them is really their own separate entity, and they're not necessarily connected. So Amar Rab, my time is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. What's the pshat in Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava that says that slaves are considered all their nimshach? They're pulled where their master is. The chsiv, the Daniel, Batira Malka. Daniel was at the gate of the king. Now, Daniel used to travel around. He wasn't always in the king's palace. And even so, it says wherever Daniel was, that was considered where the palace was. Meaning, he was so meshubah to the king, he was required. So he represented the king. So no matter where he was, that's still part of the king. So the same thing is also by the slaves. So the slaves don't have their own independence. Wherever they are, they're really just an extension of their master. So mamela, they're all part of the master's plate. And they can be mitzvahed to be one. So, fine. Pshita, so now let's lay out some of the rules that we know. Pshita, ben etzel aved. If you have a son that's sleeping, that's staying with his parents, kedamar, we already said that that's fine, that he doesn't have to make a separate erev unless there are other people living there as well. Isha etzel balo. If you have a wife together with her husband, the eved etzel rabbi, or slaves working for his master, plugto, we just said this, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseder, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. This is the machlokes over there, whether the wife is considered part, or the eved is considered part of the master, fine. However, Talmud etzel rabbi mai. What would be the halacha of a student? We discussed this a little bit, but now we're sort of setting it up to put it all together. When you have a Talmud, a student, with his Rebbe, is he considered part of his Rebbe? Is he considered one with his Rebbe, or is he still independent and he has to contribute to the Erev as well? Tashma. So, let's bring a raya. The Rabbi Rebbe Chiyah. When Rab was in the yeshiva of Rebbe Chiyah, Omar Ein Anu Tzrichin La'arev. We do not, as students, as Talmidim, we do not have to make a separate Erev. Sharei Anu Sayim Chanal Shulchanoi Shal Rebbe Chiyah. Because we are really all, Rabbi Chiya is in charge of the food, he's in charge of the yeshiva, so we're just eating off his plate. Rabbi Chiya, Bei Rabbi, and when Rabbi Chiya was in yeshiva also, Omar, he said, in Anu Tzichim Arev, we also don't have to make a separate Erev Sharei, in Anu Semchen Al Shulchan Shal Rabbi. We're eating off Rabbi's table. So we see that Talmidim are just nigrar, are pulled, are nimshach, after their Rabbi's table, if the Rabbi is supporting them. Is in charge of the yeshiva. This is again assuming that the yeshiva is supporting them. So it's a full, you know, room and board yeshiva. So then, Anachanami, they don't have to make a separate eruv. Now, Bayimnei Abaya Mirabba. So Abaya asked a question. As we know, Abaya was a student of Rabba, and he used to ask these questions also, all the time. Chamisha Shagavu Eruvon. Now, what happens if five people collected their eruv together and they made an eruv? Fine. Now let's say this chatzar, all five of them joined up together, they want to be mitzvah with another chatzar, so they bring the Erev to another location. Now we already had a Mishnah like this, and Rashi says he either didn't know the Mishnah or he wanted to clarify. So they're bringing their Erev to another location. When they go ahead and they now are mitzvah, they join up with another chatzar, does one of them represent one loaf of bread represents all five of them, or does each one of the five have to contribute now with the new chatzar? So Amalei, Erev Echad L'Kulan, yeah, we saw this, it was actually a machlokes, but we saw before one sheet that says one Erev can represent all of them. So the Gemara says, one second, but let's talk about when you have sons or brothers that are all living in the same location, even if they don't collect an Erev, they're considered as if they collected an Erev together. Ukatani, but it says the Tevish in the Mishnah, this is our Mishnah, Ukatani, Tzrichin Erev L'chol Echad Ve'Echad, if they need to contribute to somebody else, when they bring the Erev someplace else, they have to contribute each one of them. So we see that, how could you say that when after they already were mitzvah to join someplace else, they one person or one Erev represents all of them, here by the brothers, it was required that they each contribute to the new Erev. So what's the halacha? One Erev or five Erevs? The Gemara answers, "Hacha b'mayaskin and kagoyin, m'deikad yurim b'hadayu." The case over here, the reason why in the Mishnah it was required that they each contribute is because they weren't really one entity. If the Erev is with them, so then it's not a problem. But when they're contributing into a new area with another chatzar, so then, since the other people who are not connected to the brothers are chayev to contribute, so they also are chayev to contribute. And that's what the Gemara says. The Migudahani Asri, since the other people Asri, meaning make the, break them up and require that they make an Eiriv, Haninami Asri, so we say the brothers also are separate enough now that if they're contributing to a new Eiriv, they also have to contribute separately. And that actually makes sense, as we pointed out when we learned the Mishnah. The Ketani, because the Mishnah says, that's only talking about where they're bringing the Eiriv someplace else. If the Eiriv is coming to them, so they don't really require to make an Eiriv. Oh, and here's the key. She'ein diurin imahem b'chatzar, or there's no one else living together with them in this same chatzar. So in other words, no one else had the chiyuv. She'ein tzrichim arev, so they don't have to make the erev either. Shma mina. So we say, yeah, shma mina, that we say the migul, meaning that since other people are osur, so then that's when they also have to contribute. But elachanami, if there's no one else there and no one else is creating a problem, so then one person can be mitzvah. If they already were literally mitzvah, if they made their own erev, then when they contribute into a third party, another chatzar, so then one Eiriv is enough to represent all of them. Okay, similar concept. Reb Chiya bar Rabin nirav Sheshes. Reb Chiya bar Rabin answer of Sheshes. B'nei Bei Rav. Okay, so now you have another case with the Yeshiva Bachar. B'nei Bei Rav, the Achli Naham of Abaga. So they eat their bread in their own. Now, instead of thinking of like a dormitory, think about like a yeshiva, that they each go home to their own, their dorm, they have their own dira. They have their own apartment, so they eat by their hotel room. But also ubayt bebei rav, but they don't sleep someplace else. They all sleep in the yeshiva. Baisi means to sleep. They all sleep in the yeshiva. So, but they eat someplace. This is like the concept in Europe where they had Essentag, where they used to go eat by other people's houses, but they used to sleep in the yeshiva. So now again, where do we consider their area? Where are they located? Where they ate or where they sleep? Do we measure their tchum from the yeshiva house, which Rashi points out was outside of the city, or do we measure from where they ate from the hotel? So Amalei Mashkin Mibei Rab, we measure from the yeshiva where they sleep. So let's see, is that consistent? Let's say you have a case where a guy has a house in town, but he puts his Eiriv outside of the town. But also you buy say, but he sleeps at home, but he's planning on moving, on measuring from where his Eiriv is at. Over there, the fact that he put his Eiriv, 200 amas out or 1,000 amas out, we count from where his Eiriv is. So how come over there we don't count where he sleeps, over there we count from where the food is? So the Gemara answers, as we said, similar on top of the Amud, Bahu anan sahadi, ubaha adon anan sahadi. In both cases, we understand and we can put together. There's an understanding where he really wants to meet, where he wants to be. Bahu anan sahadi, in the case where he put his Eiriv outside the town. That if he had a place to sleep over there, nichale, that's where he'd prefer, because the whole reason he put his Eiriv out there was because he wanted to sleep over there. Ubahadon anan sahadi, and in this case, in the yeshiva bachim, also we understand this is really a bottom line what they want. The imaisilei rifta lebei rav nichlehu tvei. They would rather. Rashi doesn't have the word tvei, but the Gemara adds in the word tvei that they would rather that they have the food in the yeshiva. The only reason they have to go to people's houses to eat is because there's no food nevach in yeshiva. But if the food was in yeshiva, of course they'd rather have the place to eat and sleep all in the same place. So the bottom line is, when a person, that's what the Gemara seems to come out, that when a person has two locations where he's eating in one place and sleeping in another place, we really, assuming that it's not just a regular extraordinary case, but in a regular case where he really would rather be in one of those locations and he's just separated out because of some inconvenient fact, so then we look at where he'd really rather be. So, Boy Rav Chama Mirav Chista Avu Benoi. So, when you have a father and a son, Harab a Talmid or a Rebbe and a Talmud, like we learned before, Kirabim Damu, are they considered separate people? Now, this is for a different person purpose. Like Yechidim Damu, are they considered like each one is an individual? Rashi over here says, because it seems like the Gemara went through this already. So Rashi says the case over here is where you have a chatzar within a chatzar, right? We've had this case before, where in order for the guys who live on the inner chatzar to get out, they have to walk through the outside chatzar. Now this is a halacha that we already learned, that if you only have an individual on the inside chatzar, to walk through the outside chatzer, he doesn't really aser. Even though he's walking through someone else's rishos, he doesn't require that the outside guy make an error. But if you have a group of people living on the inside chatzer, and now they themselves require an eruv, so then when they walk through the outside chatzer, if that's their only way to get out, they require that the outside chatzer also requires an eruv. So now the question is, when you have a Rebbe and a Talmud living on the inside chatzer, are they considered like an individual and no extra requirements are required? Or do we say that they're like a group, and just like, and since they need their own eruv, they need an eruv on the outside as well? So that's the Gemara's question over here. Are yichidim damo, are they individuals? Do they have to make an eruv with the outside guy or not? And similarly, are they considered, even if you want to consider them separate for that purpose, as we know already, and we're going to see later also, that in order for a mavli to be mutter, it needs at least two chasers going into the mavli. So now, let's say the Rebbe and the Talmud, each one lives in their own little house. Are they considered separate enough that they create two chaseris, that therefore this mavli can be mutter with a kaira or not? So Amalei, we said we learned this. Abu Benayah, Rabbi Talmidah, Vizvansha, any moms here, and if there's no one else living with them, Harei and Kiyachidin, they're considered like individuals, so therefore they don't need to make an Erev with the outside Chatzar. They ain't Shrikhan Ma'arif, and therefore they don't need to make an Erev with the Chatzar on the outside. But even so, they are considered separate enough that each one is considered a house and a Chatzar, so they can now have a Mavoi that has two Chatzeros, and that Mavoi is going to be permitted to be mutter with a lechi and a kair, because even though they're individuals, legabe the eruv, they're considered separate, legabe a lechi and a kair. Alright, next Mishnah, you with me? Okay, the next Mishnah is a little bit more complicated. Chamesh chatzeros, psuchos zuluzu. If you have five chatzeros, that the picture over here is a little bit difficult to see in Rashi, but cases you have, just imagine five chatzers lined up next to each other, and each one of the chatzers has a door between it and its and the one next to it. Okay, so there are openings between the chatzers, and of course each one of the chatzers runs into the alleyway, into the general alleyway. So that's what the Mishnah says. It means chamesh chatzers. You have five courtyards, psuches ulazu, that have an opening between them. Upsuches lamavi, and they're open at the end to the same alleyway for the mavi. Let's say you only made an Eruv in the Chateres for Lenishtatz with the Mavi, and they didn't bother to make a Shita for Eruv. So, Mutar and the Chateres, Vasur and the Mavi, they can only carry from one Chatzar to the next, but they can't go through the Mavi, which, as we know, this is a Machlek, as we saw before, this is only according to Shita's Reb Meir. Remember, we saw a couple weeks ago that according to Reb Meir, just because you have an Eruv in the Chatzar is not enough for the Mavi, and vice versa. However, the next case in the Mishnah makes this complicated. But if they made the shitas in the mavoi, mutar kan b'kan. So in the Havamina of the Gemara thinks that means that if all they did was make a shitas in the mavoi, then it's good enough for the chatzar also, which by the way comes out like the other shita, which is the rabbanon. The Gemara is going to ask all this, but the Gemara is going to say lamaskan. That means if they also made a neiruv, also made a shitas in the mavoi. Irvu b'chatzeros. Now, let's say they made an Erev in the Chatzar. Vinishtatz of the Mavoi, and they also made a Sheet of Mavoi, so everything is good. However, one guy forgot to make an Erev in his own Chatzar. Mutar and Kanvakan, that's okay. Which again comes out like the Rabbonon, because, no, actually, right, that's okay. They're Mutar Kanvakan because they made a Sheet of the Mavoi, and the Chatzar, so whatever they made an Erev, it works. If one of the guys forgot to contribute into the Shita of Mavois, Mutar b'chatzeros, they're also in their chatzer, but they're also in the Mavi once again, because they didn't make a full, complete Shita of Mavois. Because the relationship between the Mavi to each chatzer is the same as the relationship as each chatzer is to the house, just like each house has to contribute into the Erev in order to make an Erev in the Chatzar. So too, each Chatzar has to contribute to the Shitov in order to make a Shitov Mavois. So the Mishnah went flipped back and forth here between Shitas Reb Meir and a little bit between Shitas the Rabbanon, that say you don't need, if you have the Erev Chatzar, you don't need the Mavoi and vice versa. So that's exactly what the Gemara is going to go through over here. Money, Reb Meir, he. So this comes out, according to Reb Meir, the Amar Be'inon Erev, U Be'inon Shitov, that you need both an Erev and a Shitov Mavois. But let's look at the middle case, which when we read the Mishnah, we saw was a problem. It says in the Nishtatz of the Mavon, return Kambagan. All you have to do is make a shita from the Mavon, and that works for both places. So Asam Rabbanon, that comes out according to the Rabbanon. To Amri Bechadasagi, that according to the Rabbanon, that you just have to do one or the other, and you're good to go. So Gemara says, Halei Kasha, that doesn't create a difficulty for us. But in the Nishtatz of Nami Ka'omar, what it means to say is if they already had the Yair and the Chotzer, and they also made a shita from a voice, so then you can move both back and forth, which is exactly the Rameh Shita that requires both. But however, again, the next case in the Mishnah also is no good. It says, if they made an Erev in the Chatzeros, and they also made a Shita for the Mavoi, but one of the guys from the Chatzer forgot the Loi Erev and they didn't make his Erev, he's Mutter both, in both places. Now, Hechi Dami. How is it possible, according to Rav Meir, that it's mutter in both places? If that guy who forgot wasn't mevatel his rishos, samai mutar. Why is it mutter? They don't have a proper eruv. Ela pshita de batel. So it has to be cases that he was mevatel, and that's why, according to Rav Meir, it's good because now everything is taken care of. However, if the case is that he made a bittel, a masefa. Look at the next case in the Mishnah, which is shacharechem mimnei mavoi v'loy nishtatzu. If one of the people forgot to contribute into the sheet of the mavoi, mutar bechatzeros. Then it's mutter in the chotzer, but assume the mavoi. Now you're not allowed to use the mavoi. However, the eat the bottle. But if you said the case of the Mishnah is that the guy who forgot always was mevatel is rishus, am I asurin the mavoi? Why are they asurin the mavoi? If he was mevatel is rishus, we're good to go. And if you want to say that the difference is that by the chotzer you could be mevatel, but by a mavoi you can't be mevatel. There's a brisa we saw before by the case of the tzeduki by the mavoi, where the tzeduki showed up in the middle, whatever. That all you have to do is be mavatul yerushos, and that case is talking about a mavoi. So we see Rav Meir holds even in the context of a mavoi, you could be mavatul. So if the case over here was that the case before was you were mavatul by the chotzer, so mistama you were mavatul by the mavoi also. So then why does the Mishnah say that it's aser if everybody was bittul? So there's no loose ends. Ella pshita deloy bittul. Oh, so the case is that you weren't mevatel, and that's why the chotzer remains aser, or the mavoi rather remains aser. So midah seifa deloy bittul. So the case the seifa is that he was not mevatel. So reishanami deloy bittul. So the seifa also was that he wasn't mevatel. If he wasn't mevatel, so how come the mavoi is okay, or rather how come the chotzer is okay if one of the guys from the chotzer forgot to make an eruv? So this is our problem. Reisha the Sefer, Rav Meir. So it comes out the first case in the Mishnah is like Rav Meir, and the last case in the Mishnah is like Rav Meir, that when you're missing one part of it, that creates a problem for the Erev or the Mavoi, whatever the case is. Mitzias, the Rabbanon. And the middle case comes out like the Rabbanon, which of course we don't like to do. We don't like to flip shitas in the middle of a Mishnah one way, both ways. So the Gemara says, Kula Rav Meir. It's really going according to Rav Meir. The whole Mishnah is Rav Meir. Now, according to Rav Meir, you have to do both. The time of mine, this is very interesting. The time of mine, Amar Rav Meir, be in an Erev, will be in a Shittuf. Why did Rav Meir say generally that you need both an Erev and a Shittuf? Shalai Lishkach Teres Erev Minatina. Because really, you don't, Minadin, you don't really need both. It's just that we're afraid that if you do one and not the other, people are going to forget that you're really required to do both. However, Bahacha, Kivon, Deruba, Erev, Irvu, Lai Mishtacha. Over here, most of the people made the Erev. One person forgot, we're not going to say, ooh, okay, there's no Erev here at all. What are you talking about? Everybody did, except one guy forgot. So, Mamela, everybody's going to know that there really is a Shittuf and there really is an Erev. There's really both. And since everybody knows, you really have to do both. And one guy forgot, we're not going to mess up whatever was done. We're not going to mess up the Erev, and we're not going to mess up the Shittuf Mavois that was done already just because one guy forgot. The case that Rameyer said that you need both is talking about where they didn't do it at all, where enough people didn't contribute. So it makes it look like that it's not required. But when most people did it and one guy forgot, we're going to say, oh, an Erev really is required, so we're not going to forget that you have to make an Erev. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Loitani Psucha Zulazu. Okay, so we're going to finish with this concept. Remember, the case we said in the Mishnah was that there were five chutzers right next to each other that led into the alleyway, into the mavoi, and they also had a door in between each one of them. So Rav, however, says, Loitana Psucha Zulazu. He says, no, the case of our Mishnah is that they're not open to one another. There is no door in between them. Rav Kahana also said, Rav Loitana Psucha Zulazu, there is no door in between them. Ikadami, there's another version, Rav Kahana Gufei Loitana Psucha Zulazu, that instead of blaming this on Rav, it was Rav Kahana himself that said that there is no door between them. So Amalei Abaya, the Rabbi Yosef. So again, Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, my time is the Loitana Psucha Zulazu. Why is it that he requires that the Mishnah, we cannot learn the Mishnah of the case is that there's a door in between them? This is a very interesting concept, that in order to make a shituf mavois, you require that the eriv that you use, or the shituf that you use, has to be carried through the mavoi from one chaser into the other chaser. In other words, you have A, B, C, D, and E. So you have the five chaseris all lined up into the mavoi. In order to make a shituf mavois between A and B, it has to be that you walked out of the door of A into the mavoi, and then from the mavoi into B, and then from B back into the mavoi, and then from the mavoi back into C. And that's why, so if the problem is, as Rashi explains, that if there's a door between A and B, and then from B and C, that what's going to end up happening is the shituf mavois, when they contribute into the barrel of wine or whatever, they're not going to end up walking into the mavoi b'chlal. They'll just take it straight through the doors from A to B and B to C and so on and so forth. Like, imagine if you're at a hotel and there's an adjoining room where you have a door in between the two hotel rooms. You don't walk into the hallway to go into the next room. You just walk straight through the door in between each one of the hotel rooms. So the same thing. So therefore, that ruins the shituf. Yeah? Because in order to make a shituf mavois, the eruv has to go through the mavoi. That's what joins the mavoi into the chaser. It's because you're actually using the property of the mavoi to make the eruv, to make the shituf. But if you're going to go directly from one room to the other room, and you're not going to go back into the hallway, so then the hallway is not part of the system. It's not part of the shituf mavois bechlal. According to the Shita, you actually have to use the mavoi in your process of collecting the eruv in order for the mavoi to be considered part of the eruv. It's a very interesting concept. You wouldn't have thought of this without the Gemara, right? Because if that's what you have in mind anyway, what difference does it make whether you walk through there or that's what you have in mind? But that's what Rav holds. Rav says it is required that you walk through the mavoi in order for the mavoi to be pulled in to be part of the jurisdiction of the Shita of mavoi. Okay, and therefore, if you have a door in between the two rooms, between the two chateres, you're going to end up walking from one chater to the other chater directly without walking through the mavoi at all. Yeah? Okay, so Eisvei, Balabai Shahaya Shutuf Lashchenov. So, of course, this doesn't sound right with what we learned before. We have a Balabai that had a Shutfus Lashchenov with his neighbors, Lazebiyayim, with each one with wine. We saw this before. Ein Tzrich L'Arev, he doesn't have to make a separate Eriv because the fact that they own something jointly is enough to be mitzdarfim. Anyway, the point is that it seems like, how did he get this barrel of wine? He moved from one chaser directly to another chaser. So the Gemara says no, even though it doesn't say it in the Mishnah, chaser dafki v'ayli, the case is that he brought it out into the mavoi, and then he brought it back into the chaser through the mavoi. Eitzvei, similar kind of question, ketzad mishtarfim, how do you make an erev? And that also is the case that one person collected the eruv on behalf of everybody else. He contributed. Also over there, if he's doing all the contributions, l'chayra, he never walked into the mavoi at all. So Gemara says, no, hasam nami da'achiv aylu, the case is, even though it doesn't sound like that would be the case normally, is the case is that he actually walked into the mavoi, put his piece of bread into the barrel, and brought it back into his chatzar. But the point is that he used the mavoi. Okay, so there's a requirement that you use the mavoi. Maskef lo rabo barachano. So rabo barachano asks a question, elam yatahak. So you're saying that even if a person contributes his own bread into the basket by an eruv, if it's not considered a shituf, even though I'm the one who's actually putting everything in myself, so it has to go into the mavoi. And if you want to tell me that it does have to go through the mavoi, the Rav says, if you have a group of people, if they were actually sitting together, let's say all of us were sitting together in the courtyard, and then all of a sudden they realize it's Shabbos, so we never made an Erev. However, you have bread on the table because we were eating together. That itself makes the Erev, and it even works for a Shitav Mavois as well. And Rabbi said, one says an Erev, one says a Shitav Mavois. They're not actually arguing. They're saying two different points. It depends where they're sitting. If they're in a house, so, and all five people from the chaser are in one house, so that is where an eruv normally goes. An eruv goes in the house, so all chaseres are mishtutim. However, so that would be the eruv case. The shituv case is where they're sitting in a courtyard, where they're in one of the courtyards that goes into the alleyway, and all the people from the different courtyards of the alleyway were sitting in his courtyard. So then, also that creates the shituv. Anyway, the point is, we see that the food is on the table. The food didn't go into the mavli at all, and even so, it counts as a shituv. So we see we see that the, we see that it doesn't really require that you literally take footsteps into the Mavli and then pull yourself back into the Chatzar in order for it to be considered a Mavli, in order for it to be considered a Shita. If so, if that's true, then why wouldn't the case of so then why does Rab require that there shouldn't be a door in between? Now that we see that it's not necessary to walk literally through the Mavli, why does he have an issue with having a door in between the various Chatzeres? So the Gemara says a new reason. At the time of the Rav, the problem that Rav has by having the door in between them is the Kasavar ain Mavi Nita Velechi Vekari, because we hold that a Mavi, in order for it to be mutter with Velechi Vekari, Achiyehu Batim Vichatzer Psuchim Latoichai, until it has both houses, and multiple Chatzeres open into it, like we saw before in Amud Aleph. And Rashi doesn't say anything. Rabbeinu Chananel explains that the case is that if you have a door in between each one of the Chatzeres, so now, though, and they make the Erev through the Chatzeres itself, without the Mavli, the problem is that those Chatzeres then become like one house. They become like one Chatzer. They join themselves up together as one, and now you don't have multiple Chatzeres going into this alleyway. And that itself is what creates the problem. The fact that you don't have multiple Chatzeres going into the Mavli, that's your Chatzeren of why you cannot have a Shutuf Mavois, because you don't have the definition of a Mavli, because you only have technically one Chatzer. So therefore, if you don't have doors in between them, so then the Chatzeres retain their own identity, and they're considered separate. So then you're not going to have a problem. They're going to have multiple Chatzeres going into the Mavli, and you can create an Erev Chatzer, a Shita of Mavli. But if they all join together as one, so then it's only like one Chatzer, and then you don't have multiple Chatzeres into the Mavli, and that's going to be the problem. So Rav therefore has to learn that there is no door in between the separate Chatzeres. We'll stop over here, and we'll pick this up next week.